Welcome, everyone, to a Baseball America College podcast. Along with Aaron Fitt, I'm John Manuel. This season's podcast is sponsored by Project Lomo. Logan Morrison of the Miami Marlins lost his dad to cancer in 2010 and has worked tirelessly for a cause he cares about, fighting lung cancer. Now he's asking young fans to find a cause they care about and to do something about it. You can learn about it at projectlomo.mlblogs.com, where you can get on the project's email update list. It's a really great initiative, and the young fans who do the most amazing projects will have a chance to go to a Marlins game, meet Logan Morrison and some of his Marlins teammates, throw out the first pitch, and win $1,000. That's projectlomo.mlblogs.com, and we thank Project Lomo for sponsoring this year's college podcast. Aaron, the regular season, except for on the West Coast, is over in college baseball. We're on to the conference tournaments and the postseason. So the postseason's upon us, Aaron, and this is going to be a stock reporty college podcast. So we're not going to pay too much attention to this week's top 25 rankings, although we did do the meeting, and we give kudos to Vanderbilt, Aaron, for ending the season at number one and a 26-3 Southeastern Conference record. And you said in your estimation, this is probably the best SEC regular season you've seen a team have, isn't it?
I think it's the best regular season any team's had since I've been covering college baseball. I mean, come on, 26-3 in the SEC. I haven't lost a series all year long. I mean, you know, they played a good non-conference schedule. They went to Oregon and won 2 out of 3 in the non-conference. I mean, they won their midweek games. They beat Indiana midweek. They beat, you know, Louisville midweek.
They beat Central Arkansas, which at that time of the year was kind of dangerous.
Right. I meant to say they beat Louisville midweek, not Indiana. Did they play Indiana? I don't know that they did. But
they also beat Buffalo, which like doesn't look like a good win, but Buffalo finished second in the MAC.
Yeah, and almost won it. They went into the last day.
Lipscomb and Middle Tennessee weren't as good as they usually are. Their loss to Tennessee Tech, Tennessee Tech won a very top-heavy Ohio Valley Conference. It's a good Tennessee Tech team, pretty solid program. So, I mean, like they really – their midweek schedules were pretty good.
Yeah, I mean it's an incredibly impressive season for Vanderbilt. You know, 48-7. But yeah, mostly it's 26-3 in the SEC. You don't do that. That's crazy. That's crazy.
It is crazy. It's the opposite of terrible. And they did lose a game midweekend to Alabama. So let's jump right into the stock reporty part of the podcast, Aaron. Alabama getting that victory, 14-15 in the SEC. It really seemed like that was a last piece that Alabama really needed. And I want to talk about the bottom of the SEC. Instead of the bottom, let's talk about the teams that have losing records in the SEC. So first off, we can dismiss Missouri. They're 18-31. They're not getting in. We can dismiss Tennessee, 22-30, not getting in. Didn't even go to the SEC tournament, correct, Tennessee?
That's right.
And then Georgia, 7-20, 21-32 in the Dave Perno era, comes to a close. No surprise there. That might have to be a separate podcast where we do a coaching carousel kind of deal. But next team up, Kentucky. Kentucky at one point was very high in our rankings. I want to say they even nudged their way into the top 10 at one point.
But they might have.
After being 22, I believe 22-6 was their peak. They go 8-18 the rest of the year. They're only 30-24 overall, 11-19 in the SEC. I mean, does Kentucky have to win the SEC tournament to get in, or is there a chance? I mean, their RPI is 38. On a scale of 0 to 100, what are their chances? What's their percent chance you think Kentucky gets in as an at-large team?
About 5.
Okay.
I mean, you don't get in with 11 wins in the SEC. It just doesn't happen. It's not good enough.
They really need a strong SEC tournament run, is what you're saying.
They need to win the SEC tournament, I think, to get in. I don't even know that they'd get in if they made the championship. It's really a bad finish, and the committee doesn't like that. You know, and when you combine a poor showing in your conference with negative momentum down the stretch, that's a lot to overcome. And right now they're probably.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right now they're probably 10th in the SEC pecking order. You know, I mean it's. I don't see it. No way.
I think for me, I would call negative momentum Joe Mentum from now on. If we can make a Joe Lieberthal reference, Joe Mentum. He called momentum Joe Mentum. So
okay.
That's an oldie and apparently not a goodie. Auburn at 13-17, and let's take our two Alabama, state of Alabama schools in toto here together. Auburn and Alabama. There's a game and a half between the standings of these two teams, where Alabama had a better finish in the SEC. But, Aaron, it feels like Auburn is a team that has positive momentum. Series win this weekend against Arkansas. Series win last weekend at Florida. Series win the weekend before at home against Ole Miss. I think we thought that that series loss at Missouri would be devastating for the Tigers. But it feels like they righted the ship just in time. And then in the middle of it, they also have a series win at Texas A&M, which is right in the middle of them in the SEC standings at 13-16, right between them and Alabama. How do you set up the chances of those two teams from the state of Alabama, and we could throw the Aggies in as well?
I think both those Alabama teams are going to get in. I think, you know, Auburn, you got to give them a lot of credit, because I think everybody had written them off. I had left them for dead a long time ago.
Absolutely.
And then the last 3 weeks, they've just risen from the ashes here. It's really remarkable. I mean, that they're back in this position where I think they're going to get in. I mean, it's not a slam dunk. You know, you go 13-17 in the league, you're right on the bubble. But the fact that they did it by coming on strong down the stretch with three quality series wins, I agree with you. I mean, I think beating Texas A&M as well is helps them. Where they split four games with Alabama this year?
I believe that's the case.
So yeah, they did. So 2-2 against Alabama. That's kind of a wash. I mean, I think Alabama's in good shape at 14-16 in the league. 14-15 rather in the league. I mean,
right.
That's usually 14 wins. That's usually good enough. They're inside the top 30 in the RPI. They didn't get swept by LSU or Vanderbilt. They did what they needed to do. I mean, it's not, you know, the most impressive resume when you look at series wins. But they did sweep those two games against A&M. You know, they won the weekend series against Auburn. And, you know, other than that, they took care of the lesser teams in the league, like Tennessee and Georgia, it's in Missouri. I mean, so they didn't exactly win series against really good teams, but they have two series wins against bubble teams, and they didn't get swept by Vandy and LSU. They have a nice series win early on at Florida Atlantic, which
that's
is probably going to be an at-large team. That helps.
That really helps. So, to me, that's the best thing on their resume. And I think the fact that both Auburn and Alabama – one series against Texas A&M really hurts the Aggies' chances. So if Auburn and Alabama play in the first play-in game of the new crazy 12-team, everyone gets a trophy, Southeastern Conference tournament, right? Is the loser of that, is there a chance that team is out? That seems like a pretty important game.
Yeah, it's an important game. And I think especially if Auburn loses it, I think they could be in trouble because, you know, they finished farther back in the standings and, they're just not quite as strong, I feel like, as Alabama. I mean, at 14-15, that's a decent spot to be in. I think Alabama could lose this game and still get in. Auburn loses it, maybe not. I mean, it'll depend what else happens in other conferences, and that's the thing is with stock report is it's fluid. You know, it all depends how many auto bids are gobbled up and how many, you know, if Campbell loses and gets in as that large team instead, you know, for instance, that could be a two-bid league anyway, maybe, but it could be a three-bid league, the Big South, if something crazy happens. So,
right.
So there's balls in the air. But right now, I think I'll have both those teams in. And then you got A&M and Florida are kind of in weird positions here. I mean, these teams are the back of the SEC bubble. It's not easy because, you know, these teams all have flaws in their resumes. I mean, I think A&M, the thing I really don't like is how poor they were on the road this year.
They were just poor, Aaron. They have they have one series, or as Bray Tanner would say, series.
Yes.
But you would really point at and say they did well, and that's at Ole Miss. They won 2 of 3 at Ole Miss, and otherwise, it's really not impressive. They did get a win at Fullerton. That's the other good thing. They did lose the series, but they did win a game at Cal State Fullerton. But their only other series wins of any import are home against Georgia, which they swept, and at home against Missouri, which they swept. They did pull off a win here or there in league play, but they got swept at South Carolina. They got a win against Auburn, but they got swept at home by Mississippi State. And they got a win at Arkansas, a win at home against LSU, and their series win this weekend against Tennessee. I mean, in a vacuum, it doesn't look like a regional resume, but we don't know who we're comparing it against. So I feel like to me There's a very good chance that Florida has the highest RPI of all these teams, but Florida certainly has stumbled down the stretch too, has it not?
Yeah, it has. I mean, Florida really hurt itself the last 2 weeks, losing series to Auburn and Georgia back-to-back. That hurts. You know, Georgia especially. That, come on, how do you – I mean, you can't lose that series if you're a regional team. And the last-place team in the league, you know, I mean, your at-large bid is up for grabs. Come on, you can't lose that series. That you know, they're 2 games over 500 right now. So,
so you got Florida playing Texas. You got Florida playing Texas A&M and Auburn playing Alabama. There's a chance that those two teams, the losers of those games tomorrow, Tuesday, at the SEC tournament, there's a chance both those losers are out, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I think it's a good call, especially the Florida A&M loser. I think the team that loses that one is out.
Wow, that would be amazing because Florida certainly seemed, after that hot stretch, especially the series win against South Carolina where they swept the Gamecocks, really seemed like Florida was, you know, had righted the ship. And then a sweep at LSU, which there's no, you know, there's no shame there, but unable to kind of bounce back from that is a real key. They've won two SEC games since then. So a 2-7 SEC loss end of the season could really boot them from the regionals.
And after, you know, the LSU series, I thought they were out of the woods. I figured, you got Auburn at home. You got Auburn at home and at Georgia, they should be able to finish strong and cruise into regionals, and it just didn't happen that way. So now they're in trouble.
Now the rest of the SEC, real quick, LSU and Vanderbilt are certainly hosts and top 8 national seeds. But that's it as far as top 8 national seeds. There's not another SEC team sniffing top 8 national. Even if one of the other teams, like if South Carolina, Arkansas, Mississippi State, or Ole Miss were to win the SEC tournament, can one of those teams steal a top 8 national seed? It feels like the answer to that is no.
I mean, I think maybe South Carolina still. I mean, they finished, you know, because they got the best combination of you know, a solid conference record, 17-12, good RPI, you know, 11. And you know, they've got some quality series wins. I don't know. I think I'm not in love with any of these teams as a top 8 national seed. But you know, if Oregon right now. I mean, I thought they kind of needed to win that series this past weekend against Oregon State. Now they're I don't know. They're kind of on the fringe. Right now, I'll put Louisville ahead of either of these teams. But
I got to be honest, Aaron. If South Carolina gets a top 8 national seed, I'd be kind of shocked. They've been swept 3 times. I mean, I know one of them was a 2-game series, but they got swept at home by Arkansas. And if Florida doesn't make regionals, which is very possible, how could a top 8 national seed be a team that got swept at Florida? I mean, it would be dubious. And then we're talking. I guess my point is, I think it's really clear they're a top 2 team in the SEC, and that's been clear all year. It's been very clear all year. And between Arkansas, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, South Carolina, which of those teams do you like as the best bets to host a regional? Sounds like the answers are Gamecocks and Bulldogs as opposed to, you know, the Razorbacks are the toughest fit in this regional hosting scheme. They're second in the country in attendance, but that doesn't really seem like it matters too much. Their RPI is down around 50.
Arkansas is going to be the scariest number 2 seed in the history of regionals. But, you know, there's no way you can host without RPI. I mean, you know, the lowest host we've had in the RPI in the last, I don't know, 10 years at least, is UConn, Michigan in 08 with a 35 RPI, and they hosted as a 2 seed. That's in the Big Ten. You're not going to give a SEC team with a bad RPI a host because it's easy to have a good RPI in the SEC. The lowest SEC RPI team to host was 2006 when it was Kentucky at 27. And the year before that, Tennessee at 29. So you had two teams in the late 20s. If you're not in the low 20s, I mean, if you're not in the top 30 as an SEC team, there's just no way. I don't care if you finish third in the league.
Think there should be anyway. Not if they use the RPI, which they do. So.
They do. I mean, that's the thing is you can make a case where Arkansas deserves it. They went 5-1 against South Carolina, Mississippi State. They finished third in the league. I get all that. I mean, I'm right there with you. But the fact is the fact the committee uses the RPI. It's part of the equation, and that's lacking for Arkansas. So if they go on a deep run in Hoover, I don't know how much they can boost their RPI. I'm sure it can help, you know, because they're going to play some good RPI teams. But they need to boost to 20 spots, I think.
Aaron, let's move on to the Atlantic Coast Conference. I think we've talked a lot about the Southeastern Conference. Let's talk about the Atlantic Coast Conference. We had two pretty big series this weekend to decide the two divisions. We had Florida State for the fifth year in a row, I believe it is, winning the Atlantic Division.
I think it's the seventh year in a row.
Seventh year. That's insane. Their consistency is a sight to behold. We're running late on the podcast already here, but Florida State wins the Atlantic Division by winning 2 out of 3 against Clemson. North Carolina wins the Coastal Division. All I had to do was win 1 out of 3 against Virginia. It did. But the Tar Heels have lost their last two series and haven't won a series in a while because prior to that they split two at NC State. Still feels like the ACC is playing for three national seeds, North Carolina, Florida State, and most likely Virginia. And I guess Virginia's number 3 in the RPI right now, Aaron. So is Florida State a lock? Is it a lock the ACC's going to get three top 8 national seeds? Because Florida State's 5th in the RPI.
I think so. I think all three of those are really, really, really strong bets for national seeds. I mean, you know, they all did what they needed to do, except for North Carolina's the one team. I mean, you know, they actually haven't won a series in 5 weeks now because they had those the two series losses. They had a bye week, and then they had the split with NC State. So, I mean, it's been a long time they've won a series. Right now it feels like their momentum is completely just gone. I mean, you know, I know they weren't far off from winning that series this weekend, but they didn't win it. And now it's like, I mean, they're gonna be a national seed. Don't get me wrong. Their body work is strong, everything else. But I don't know. I mean, right now it feels like they're third out of those three teams as far as maybe that's not true. Maybe they're still ahead of Florida State if you look at the overall body of work. But momentum is not in there. They've got Joe momentum right now.
They've got Joe momentum. I don't disagree with you. I would rather hit my funk late in the regular season than a regional. You know, last year, North Carolina really didn't hit a funk until the regional. But it's going to be interesting to watch them in the ACC tournament this week here in Durham. You know, a lot of us here at the Baseball America office will be there. Miami, Clemson, and NC State are the other teams in North Carolina's pod, and they'll play all three of those teams. And they lost a game to all three of those teams. You know, they lost one game to Miami. They lost a game to Clemson. They lost a game to NC State. They won two of those series, but all three of those teams are going to throw lefties at them. You know, and North Carolina, I believe, is 14-6 in game started by a left-hander. You know, maybe they got some confidence because they did beat Kyle Crockett out of the lefty out of Virginia's bullpen in the Friday game. But still, I agree with you. I think North Carolina can snap out of it. But their bullpen is basically down to two guys. They pretty much trust Trent Thornton and Chris McHugh. And, you know, in my mind, for them to get to Omaha, they're going to have to find another answer on the mound because I still feel their lineup is pretty confident. I know the most interesting thing about their weekend series was Colin Moran getting back on track a little bit offensively in the last game. And then Sky Bolt, I don't know if you noticed this, Aaron, but he batted right-handed against Josh Spores.
I did.
He clearly feels more comfortable from the right side. And after one pitch, Mike Fox called timeout and came to talk to him. And he basically said afterwards, I was pretty much asking him, what are you doing batting right-handed? Is something wrong? Are you hurt? And he just said, no, he feels more comfortable from the right side. And scouts love his swing from the right side. They like it better from the right side than the left side. That's something to watch, I think, for North Carolina. They got to get Sky Bowl going. And then I just think Florida State, they're sleeper in there for me, Aaron. Again, North Carolina State, we dropped them in the rankings this week because they lost the Florida State series. But I actually feel better about State this week, not because they swept Duke, because Logan Jernigan pitched well against Duke. And he only pitched 4 2/3 innings. It's not like it was a world-beating.
That's huge for NC State, man. That's like one of their longest outings of the year in the number 3 spot. I mean, that's still nettlesome to me.
Oh, it should be.
The fact that they can't get deep into the game except for Carlos Rodon, and it's crazy. It's crazy how many games they've won without quality starting pitching. I can't. It blows my mind.
It blows my mind, and I think Jernigan went 77 pitches, so I think he was on a 75 pitch limit. He went 5 innings. I think he's the key to the whole deal. If NC State's going to end their streak, or they haven't been to Omaha since 1967, to me, Logan Jernigan has to be a guy who can give them 6 quality innings against a good team. I've seen him do it. I saw him do it last year against Georgia Tech. His stuff was phenomenal. He had one horrible inning, but he's a personal cheese ball. So NC State better hope that I'm right. Because honestly, the rest of it is just Johnny Holstaff. There's no other starting pitcher they should have any faith in. But right now they're basically down to Rodon and Jernigan, and that's interesting. I do think we feel pretty confident, Aaron, in 5 ACC regional hosts: Florida State, NC State, Clemson, North Carolina, Virginia. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Aaron, next
I
up.
Will,
go ahead.
I will say this. I think that, I mean, Clemson's not. let's just forget it. I think five is a safe bet. I mean, I think if something happened, I don't know, let's say Arkansas gets really hot and they do boost that RPI and Clemson, you know, goes 0-3 in the ACC tournament or something like that, I could see maybe, you know, it's far-fetched. Maybe Clemson could get squeezed out, but probably not. I think they're probably okay.
Okay. Moving on to the Pac-12, Aaron. Big series out there this weekend was Oregon State. Kind of a fizzle of a series because the Beavers dominated. The O-State Ballers continue to be balling. But this is a four-bid league, correct? I mean, nothing's really changed for the Pac-12 this weekend, did it?
Nothing's changed. I mean, Stanford swept Cal. They're still 79 on the RPI. Too little, too late. Even if they sweep UCLA.
Not so fast, says their disinformation Twitter.
I beg to differ. They're done. I mean, they're done. I think
if they sweep UCLA,
it's a four-bid league.
You don't think they get in if they sweep UCLA?
I don't think it'll be enough for their RPI. And, you know, to me, they needed to get hot in May, and they lost, seven straight instead.
They got swept at Oregon, and they got swept by Oregon State. I mean, they got, you know, pulling Oregon. You got to win one of those games. I mean, Oregon's a polarizing team here, Aaron, because they've lost five series. I said in the meeting, they are the Mississippi State of the West, which I'm sure no one in the state of Oregon thinks of themselves as in any way, shape, or form, anything like Mississippi State. But on the baseball field, I think they're very similar teams in that Oregon lost series to basically every good team it plays. So they've lost five series against Arizona State, which is now number 20 or 19 in our rankings. And they lost a series to Vanderbilt, number one, Fullerton, number three, which you're going to write about. I hope the Fullerton fans don't, you know, think that we're losing them in the mix here, but you were at Fullerton for two games. You'll write about them in three strikes today. But loss to Vanderbilt, number three, Fullerton, number four, Oregon State, and number eight, UCLA. Those are the series losses for Oregon. I guess if you're going to lose series, A, don't get swept. They didn't get swept in any of those series. And B, lose four series of the top eight teams in the country.
Yeah. And,
I don't feel bad about ranking them where we have them ranked. And I feel like they've earned a regional hosting. I don't think they deserve to be a top eight national seed, though.
Agreed. And they're going to host a regional. To me, the Pac-12 seems pretty easy to figure out. You got one national seed, Oregon State. You got a host, Oregon. You got a host, UCLA. And you got an at-large team in Arizona State. And that's kind of the way it shakes out. I mean, you know, maybe Oregon or UCLA even could still be in the mix but for a national seed. But I think probably that's what we're looking at.
All right, Aaron. And then those Pac-12 teams that get in, do we see them all as hosts? Three teams as hosts?
Yes.
Is Arizona State a host?
Three. Arizona State will not host.
Okay.
No way. I mean, at this point, especially after losing a series to Arizona this weekend, a 15-12 in the league, I just can't, you know, you're a four-bid league. You can't have four hosts, especially when you've already got a fourth host out in the West with Fullerton. Arizona State will be a two-seed in Fullerton. I mean, that's, you know, come on. That's a slam dunk.
That's fine. So we don't feel like – so in our top 16, 17 in our rankings, you have Arkansas. We have Arkansas in the top 17. New Mexico, we have a little jacked up at 13. Some of that's pole mechanics. Some of that's our faith in the fighting Birminghams out of the land of enchantment. But I think we feel like all those other teams, Vanderbilt, LSU, Fullerton, Oregon State, Virginia, Carolina, Florida State, UCLA, NC State, Louisville, Oregon, Indiana, we feel pretty confident about all 12 of those teams as regional hosts, correct? Those are taken to the bank regional hosts, correct?
Yes, they are. Taken to the bank.
13 New Mexico, if they win the Mountain West Conference, any chance they host? Maybe they host as a two seed? Could that possibly happen? That doesn't happen very often anymore. But
doubt it. Don't think so.
Arkansas at 14, hosting as a two seed? Could that possibly happen? Or are they going to host as a one?
I consider that possibility. I just don't think so because you've got enough other hosts, you know, as number ones out there. You don't need to shoehorn them in. There's no geographic reason to do it. I just don't see it.
Okay, then we're talking about Kansas State at 15. Kudos to Brad Hill and the Wildcats. Got to think Brad Hill's on the short list for National Coach of the Year. Wildcats win their first conference regular season champion of any kind since 1933. I believe, as Mike Patrick would say, are you kidding me?
Crazy.
It is crazy. I mean, what in the name of Kayvon Baramzadeh happened there?
You
didn't think
those,
I was going to go there, did you?
That's well done. Those guys, they're dangerous offensively. You know, they're kind of like New Mexico. They're constructed similarly. They're not as offensive as Mexico, but they are very offensive. And you know, they came from behind against Jonathan Gray on Thursday, and that was kind of loud. You know, that's their team that kind of pieces it together on the mound, and you know, and they score a lot of runs, and they're hard nosed and well coached, and indeed, kudos to those guys, because that's a team that was not on anybody's radar coming into the year. They were not on the coach's radar. I think they were voted like 7th or 8th in the league in the preseason. I think 7th. And, you know, they won the league, and it's a great program. I mean, we've talked about it before, how well coached we think that program is and how they managed to, you know, they just grind it out every year, and they seem like they're one of those programs that overachieves or achieves more than is expected. Consistently
on a very regular basis. And meanwhile, the Big 12, Aaron, was full, we both think of some underachievers, and I'm just stunned at the mediocrity of this league. How many bids do you see from this league right now? Gotta think Oklahoma is on the bubble as much as any team, and they might be on the wrong side of the bubble.
They need to not, you know, they need to do some work in the conference tournament at this point. I mean, they've got Joe-mentum. You know, they're going the wrong direction. You know, down the stretch, they've lost 3 straight series. Now they're number, 50 in the RPI, I believe.
51, according to Boys World. Behind New Mexico, behind Arkansas, behind Bryant, for crying out loud,
How about that?
So, just a stunning turn of events, stunning season for them, really. I know they had the Dylan Overton injury, but, I mean, this is a team that's going to have 3 guys drafted in the first 3 rounds with Gray, Overton, and Oberstee, and just feel like they should be better than they are.
Yeah, and, you know, I still think they're dangerous, but I don't know. Right now I'm not really feeling it. I mean, I know that they, you know, if you get them as your 3 seed in a regional with Gray and Overton, you're probably not feeling too great about it.
But if Oklahoma goes 2-Q in the Big 12 tournament, could this be a 2-bid league?
Yes,
Oklahoma State and Kansas State?
I think if Oklahoma goes 2-Q, yes, I think it would be a 2-bid league.
And just stunning to look at the Big 12 tournament and not see Texas in it. I mean, I don't know how the Longhorn Network is going to fill how they're going to fill all that airtime. So Kansas State's a host. It sounds like Mississippi State, by winning that series this weekend against South Carolina, has solidified itself as a host for you, correct?
Yes.
So that's 14. South Carolina at 15. We think they're a regional host, correct? The 16th regional host is basically coming down to Clemson and maybe someone else possibly moving ahead of them, maybe an Oklahoma State if they sweep the Big 12 tournament, or an Arizona State if they sweep this weekend, or potentially Arkansas if they sweep through the Southeastern Conference tournament. Is there anybody else out there who you see as a dark horse host, someone from the Big East perhaps, other than Louisville?
No, I think the only other team for me is South Alabama is still in the mix. I mean, as a number 15 or 16 RPI team and co-champion in the number 5 conference in the RPI, you know, I mean, that'll be a 4-bid league. I think South Alabama is certainly still in the mix. In fact, I put them right now ahead of any of those teams you mentioned as kind of the 17th candidate to host. And then Arkansas as well, if they can get hot and boost the RPI. Still think they got a chance. But right now I feel pretty good about those 16 teams that we talked about as hosts.
Fitzy, let's real quick. You're going to the Big Ten tournament this weekend this week in Minneapolis, correct?
Yes, I am.
So next time you go, we need to do a Prince soundtrack to sync it up with Minneapolis. So I guess the Replacements also from Minneapolis. Minneapolis was a happening place in the 1980s. So
yeah, I guess so.
Number one. So the Big Ten, Indiana, 40-13 overall. They won the league. They won the series from Ohio State this weekend in Columbus. Indiana's going to be a regional host, it sounds like. You think the number one seed, that you're taking that to the bank, right?
Take it to the bank.
All right. Ohio State, the Buckeyes certainly had a tough finishing schedule. They played Oregon. They played Georgia Tech midweek. Is Ohio State in? Are they already in, or are they kind of fighting for their lives this weekend at Target Field?
They will be fighting for their lives. You know, they're 61st in the RPI. You know, it's a little outside at-large range. They do have 10 wins against the top 50, but the thing that hurts them a little bit is actually the fact that they played you know, those games, those eight games down the stretch, all at home. And you know, if you lose six of those, you know, six losses at what 1.3 victory or 1.3 losses apiece because they're at home. That hurts you in the RPI. I mean, you're better off going on the road. You know, I mean, the way the formula works now. So, I still like the fact that they finished, you know, 15-9 in their conference, and they won some good series in the league. They won 2 out of 3 against Illinois. You know, they won 2 out of 3 at Nebraska. The resume is decent, but
feels like if they'd won that series at Minnesota or won that series at home against Michigan State, you feel pretty good about their chances, but they didn't. I mean, it's one game here or there, but it really feels like those are crucial losses for them.
I think you're right. And, you know, right now they're still alive, but they need to do work in the Big Ten tournament. They need to get close to number 50, I think, in that RPI. So I think you're looking at probably Illinois is a pretty good bet for a second team out of the Big Ten. And then, you know, if somebody else wins that conference tournament, then I think Illinois and Indiana both get in, and you get a 3-bid league. But otherwise, it's probably looking more like a 2-bid league.
And it's a 4-bid tournament. It's a 6-team tournament, I guess, right?
Yes, it is. So Michigan State, despite being 36th in the RPI, and you know, I mean,
you don't think Michigan State can get in even with that? The RPI is going to kill it. Not the RPI is going to kill it, but the RPI can't save it even if they didn't make the conference tournament.
I don't think they deserve to get in. I mean, come on. 7th in the Big Ten, missing out on a 16 conference tournament. It's like last year, but last year they at least finished 5th in the league, and you know, they had a worse RPI last year. They were like 48 and they got in. So they probably have a chance still. I mean, depends how much the committee looks at this, the conference standings. But for me, you got to make your conference tournament in the Big Ten.
But I will just say, though, I mean, they have 16. But they're the SEC that would have been comfortably in, you know? I mean, everyone gets a trophy in the Southeastern Conference. You know, in the Big Ten, it's just like most other conferences where the conference tournament doesn't make money, so the conference tournament is a nuisance rather than an opportunity. So they see it as a nuisance, and because it's a nuisance, Michigan State didn't get in. I mean, I guess they really have themselves to blame. They got swept by Michigan. But they swept Indiana. I mean, the resume is pretty interesting. I guess the real killer for them is going to Iowa and losing that series at Iowa. So
it is. And, you know, it's not just the fact that they missed their conference tournament, because I agree that shouldn't be, you know, that shouldn't kill them in itself. I mean,
because that conference is so compressed, and with weather and all that kind of stuff, they played only 21 league games. They're a game back of Minnesota, a half game back of Illinois, Michigan, that played 3 more league games. It's a killer for Michigan State. I feel bad for Jake Boss on that staff because I kind of have a feeling they have a shot at getting in there. I don't think I would put them in.
They do have a shot. I mean, I do like the quality series wins at Ohio State against Illinois, you know, and then the sweep of Indiana. Those are good series wins. It is a shame that they had that entire series at Minnesota canceled. You know, that is unfortunate, but I don't know. I mean, 7th place in the Big Ten, I don't know.
It's tough. It is tough. Aaron, anything stock reporty? Is there a team that no one thinks of, like a Bryant we mentioned? Is there a team that you wouldn't think of that has a chance to get an at-large bid from a mid-major conference that no one's thinking of, or a team that we haven't talked about at all this year that could be an at-large team? I mean, like, we talked about Central Arkansas. They're not going to be an at-large team. But I mean, someone like that, someone who didn't pop up on the national radar who could be an at-large, like, could someone from the Ohio Valley, like a Tennessee Tech or Austin Peay, jump up and be
Austin
an at-large?
Austin Peay is going to be an at-large. I mean, I suspect they're 29th in the RPI. I mean, that's 42-win team that's 29 in the RPI and, you know, has finished near the top of its conference. That's an at-large team. I think the Ohio Valley could.
Does Belmont have a shot at that too? They're 71.
So.
They're 71 in the RPI, and Tennessee Tech at 83. So if Austin Peay, so the rest of the country, these other bubble teams need to hope that Austin Peay wins the Ohio Valley, and then that leaves Tennessee Tech, the Fighting AJKJs, and Belmont and those other teams kind of on the outside looking in. And then the Big East, is the Big East down to a 2-bid league potentially, Louisville and Seton Hall? Because Pittsburgh got swept this weekend South Florida seems very bubbly, and Notre Dame, TFCO, in my opinion.
Yeah, TFCO is right, Notre Dame. I mean, you know, losing the last two series, you know, at St. John's and then at Cincinnati. That's number 233 in the RPI, and they were lower than that coming into the week.
That's embarrassing.
Boy, that's bad. I mean, for Notre Dame, come on. That no way, Notre Dame. They lost their last three series overall. They also, of course, lost that series of South Florida at home. But, yeah, I think Louisville and Seton Hall. And, you know, I feel bad that Pitt is not going to probably get in because they went 18-6 in the league. They won 40 games for the first time. You know, I'd like to see them in. I think they're a regional caliber team. But I just think the RPI is going to cost them. I mean, and you know,
and I'm looking at their season. I don't even see like the. I guess other than the loss to Coppin State, which had the best year Coppin State's had in a long time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Other than that loss, I don't see like any egregious series they played this year. You know, I don't see any true RPI killers. You know, it's not like they played Mississippi Valley State or Alcorn or some of these SWAC teams that SEC teams constantly play.
Four games against Youngstown State, which is number 262. Two games against Coppin State, which even though they had a good year, they were 291 in the RPI. You know, three games against Villanova, which everybody had to play in the Big East, but they're 245. Georgetown's 224. Wofford's 244. I mean, Wofford, yeah. I mean, so it's 27 games against teams outside the top 200.
And
a lot of them were, you know, like we're talking about, were toward the back of that list, you know. I mean, especially Coppin State and Youngstown. I mean, those teams, that's what kills them. I mean, despite the fact they won all these games, it's just a lot of games against teams that are not high enough.
I hear you on that one. Aaron, two last things, and then we'll let you go. Bob Smith, Bob Bruin Bear asked, do you think the Bruins are getting their, he spelled it wrong, focus on Omaha now? I think every team's focusing on that right now. Well, try not to, but obviously all the coaching staffs are focused on getting that. But what's the chance? The best question is, what's the chance of a UCLA-Fullerton meeting in a super regional? That chance has to be pretty low, doesn't it? We think UCLA is going to be a top eight national seed, or potentially?
No.
Oh, they're not going to be?
No. I think Fullerton will be, and UCLA will not be.
So then there you go.
Yeah. I think Fullerton-UCLA is a pretty likely pairing. You know, and I know it gets old, but that's the reality right now. Until they seed the teams 1 through 16, geography is going to be a factor. You got to beat the teams in your region. It's, you know, we're just going to have to live with it until they change the system.
And the West Coast fans will commence the belly aching, the annual belly aching after that. Like you said,
which really gets old. I mean, it's you know, it's the same thing everywhere. It's the same thing in Florida. Florida and Florida State and Miami are all sick of each other. South Carolina and Clemson and, you know, North Carolina, you know, all those teams are sick of each other. I mean, you know, the Texas teams are sick of each other, A&M and Rice, the only time that they've seen each other.
Let's talk about Bethune-Cookman, where they go to regionals every year, and every year they had to go to Miami or Florida. They never got to leave the state. They never got to travel, you know, or Southern. Every year used to get sent to LSU. I mean, it happens everywhere. Just stop, get your head out of the sand and think that only these things befall you. I mean, it's so old. Last question. Any shot? Somebody asked me about Canisius there and the Griffons. Aren't they the Griffons?
The Griffins.
I prefer to say Griffons. I don't know why. It's the J.J. Cooper in me. Any chance the Griffins or any of those small conference or mid-major teams from the Northeast get an at-large bid for not winning their tournament?
Bryant. I mean, Bryant's the one team that, you know, has a chance to. And
they're in the Northeast Conference, correct?
They are in the Northeast Conference. They're 40-15 overall. They are number 49 in the RPI, according to Warren Nolan right now. You know, and this is – they won their league very convincingly, you know, by four games over Sacred Heart. That team – give them credit. I mean, you know, they scheduled aggressively early. It helps them in the RPI probably that they started out by going to Oregon State to open the season for four games. They didn't, you know, and they didn't win any of those games, but they actually played very competitively out there. And they lost 2-1. They lost 3-1 in the first two games of that series. So that's a pretty good team. I mean, that Bryant team is talented. They got a lot of arms, and they're interesting. I think that's a dangerous four seed in a regional somewhere.
Aaron, great stuff. We'll let you go to wrap up the top 25 and all the stuff that we actually have to write for today and get on to three strikes. I think that most people are going to probably love this podcast because I let you talk and I let you do the analyzing, and you know, you're the expert, Fitzy. So we'll be back with the today's, obviously later today, and every Monday, even during the postseason. I think we're going to keep on trying to do this Google Plus Hangout, but we probably should talk about that. Today might be the last Google Plus Hangout, actually, Aaron. Monday at 12:30, anyway. Today might be the last Google Plus Hangout, so we'll see how we'll play that a little bit by the ear. But looking forward to that, and looking forward to your trip to Minneapolis. When do you leave from Minneapolis, today or tomorrow?
Leaving tomorrow, and certainly looking forward to that. It's going to be a different experience up there for a conference tournament, where you've got a lot more on the line, I think, in a league like that, where it really matters who gets the automatic bid than in the SEC, where most of those teams are going to be alive after the first 2 days are already going to be in, I think.
Yeah, the SEC tournament, usually after the first day, you're playing for positioning and whether you're going to host or not, or be a top eight national seed. In the Big Ten tournament, you're playing for your life, and then they're going to be doing it in a big league ballpark, which is going to be mostly empty. So it's going to be fascinating, I think, to see. So this will be 4 years in a row with four different conference tournaments, right? Or just 3 years in a row with three different tournaments?
It might be, I think I did the SEC 2 years in a row, and then I went ACC and then Big Ten. So, yeah, just mixing it up a little bit.
Where else have you ever been? Have you ever been to other conference tournaments?
The Conference USA tournament, I remember 1 year back in Greenville.
Yeah, I've been there. I've been to Kinston for one of those, if you can imagine that.
Wow, Kinston. How about
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. And, of course, last year, don't forget, we went to the Big South Conference Championship.
Yes, we did. We did go to the Big South. That's right. That's a good call.
One of my all-time favorite baseball days. Big South Conference Championship in the afternoon, Carolina-NC State ACC game with 10,000 people at night. Getting to see two of my favorite people in the world, my son and Aaron Fitt. It was a great baseball day. So, Fitzy, good stuff, and we'll talk to you on the next podcast, and have a safe trip to Minneapolis.
Thanks, Johnny. Always a pleasure.
For Aaron Fitt, I'm John Manuel. The College Podcast is sponsored by Project Lomo, and we'll see you next week on the next Baseball America College Podcast. So long, everybody.